Good morning. We are back. This is Sharp Elbows with Nada Elmakashvi, me, Francesca Hong, and our very special guest, State Representative Jimmy Anderson of the 47th Assembly District. So, Jimmy, before the break, we were talking about our takes on our experiences of the state ledge, the importance of constituent services. But I want to shift gears now into recent legislation you introduced with Representative Lisa Subek. Can you talk a little bit more about the Less for RX package, as well as the insulin copayment cap that you authored?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that if there's anything that I've been focusing my time in the legislature, it's all about healthcare, being able to find ways to make it more affordable, more accessible, and making sure that more people are covered in the state. I know that Representative Subek has also been keyed in on this issue, particularly around the area when it comes to providing prescription drugs at affordable prices for folks. I think that there's no doubt that prescription drugs are an enormous expense for a lot of families out there, particularly for people within the disabled community. I know that, at least for myself, like I prescription drugs are a significant monthly expense on a day-to-day basis or on a month-to-month basis for myself. So I was really excited to work with Lisa on these bills. In particular, my legislation that dealt with particularly insulin prices. So, you know, like other states, I believe Colorado is one of them. What we want to do is find a way to cap the cost of monthly insulin so that way it's at an affordable rate and make sure that insurers aren't able to use like deductibles and other ways to kind of wriggle around and make sure that, you know, it's a flat rate of $50 a month for people's insulin costs on a month-to-month basis. So, I was really excited to work with Lisa on this package of bills. There are other bills that kind of help govern and control the cost of these medications and make sure that they're not gouging folks. So, it's been wonderful working with Lisa, and I was really excited that we included my insulin bill in this package.
For the folks at home, I think it'd be really cool to hear about how those packages come about. Did you all meet with constituents first? Was this something y'all read about or kind of looked at models in other states? How did this bill package start?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's actually a little bit of a mixture of everything. So, you know, Lisa did a really good job of bringing different representatives who had different bills dealing with prescription drug issues together. So these are kind of like bills that we've introduced like maybe individually over the past, you know, 6-8 years or so. Mm-hmm. Also bringing together the governor's team. The governor had some really great ideas when it comes to what to do to try to cap some of these prices and what the administration can do to be a part of that process. And then also, most importantly, like I think most legislation, I think Fran would agree, a lot of the best ideas come from the nonprofit organizations or from the constituents themselves that have issues, that have problems that they're facing in a day-to-day life. And they come, I know at least for the insulin bill, you know, it was a lot of individuals who were dealing with exorbitant insulin costs. And they came to me and they were talking to me about these issues. I went out and did a little bit more research and saw how other states were trying to alleviate the problem. And that's how at least my portion of the bill came into effect.
Mm-hmm. And this all happened, I think, a lot of great healthcare initiatives budget that Republicans got it immediately before they put through their own disappointing budget. And one of them was badger care expansion in the state of Wisconsin. What went through both your heads as lawmakers when you saw your colleagues, you know, for absolutely no reason, kind of reject something that would have helped so many people in the state? Because I felt a lot of rage, staffer, and I imagine for both of you it was a little worse as well.
Fran, do you want to go first?
It's exacerbated. I honestly, they go through so many hurdles, obstacles, and unnecessary work to find what could possibly be wrong with having more people have access to affordable healthcare. And trying to vilify what is a human right, access to affordable healthcare, is like, I don't understand why someone would choose to like go through hoops to find out what's wrong. And that's what they did. And that's what they argued, that that expansion of healthcare would not benefit Wisconsinites in the state, which is absolutely not true. So it was incredibly disappointing. It was fiscally irresponsible. And I think that it goes to show that they just do not care about the well-being and the well-being of Wisconsinites.
I mean, this is absolutely what happens when partisanship becomes your only valence, right? Like when you can only see the world through a conservative or Republican lens, you begin to start closing your eyes off to the actual facts of the matter. And, you know, here we have a piece of legislation dating back to the Affordable Care Act, which was passed many, 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 many years ago, that has been proven to be a benefit and a boon and a progress towards finding a way to provide healthcare to everybody. It's like I said, I always see it as like a stepping stone to that eventual goal where we're trying to get to. But, you know, it's progress, and it's shown that it's actually done some good things in the states where they have expanded Medicaid. But like I said, here we have a bill that would bring billions of dollars back to our state, tax dollars that are coming out of the pockets of Wisconsinites, being able to bring that back to the state. It would cover thousands of more Wisconsinites that desperately need this healthcare coverage. And then on top of that, it would actually reduce the expenses for everybody else that has private insurance. So I don't know of a single bill that could do so much for so many. And honestly, just by the facts of the numbers, be able to provide that kind of support and have it just rejected out of hand simply because it was brought forth by maybe a Democratic president. I don't know what their issue is with it. Mm-hmm. I'm beyond frustrated.
Mm-hmm. And it has, I think, a majority approval ratings or approval in the state of Wisconsin as well. It's not a bill that just Democrats want, correct?
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. And I think it has a good significant amount of Republican support as well, because I think they recognize that, you know, as much as you may have issues with other parts of the Democratic platform, if you're a Republican, I think that you can look at this and say, hey, here is taxpayer money that's coming out of my pocket that I want to bring back to the state of Wisconsin. It's a no-brainer, but apparently we got a lot of people without brains in the Republican side of the Wisconsin legislature.
I agree. And I think one of the interesting parts is that it would bring in, I think, up to $1 billion. I might be a little bit wrong in terms of money that Wisconsin can use to spend on both Democrats and Republican communities here in the state. So it really seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot with this one. And it's just austerity, and it absolutely makes no sense. Like Fran said, it's fiscally irresponsible. We're coming up on our second break here at Devil Radio 92.7 FM. We'll catch you very soon.